chapter of Luke.
While you're turning there, I was talking to Joyce before service, and she mentioned that I read the same scripture this morning that Tom Nett read last Sunday night. She was wondering which way I was going. I just read that scripture to just get a thought, and then I went somewhere else. I had God call Samuel, and that's all I wanted to get out of that verse. And I'm glad tonight He's still calling, and He called you and me. I'm a sin. Thank the Lord. 8th chapter of Luke. Before I read, let me just share some background information. Earlier in this chapter, we find that Jesus and the disciples had crossed over to Galilee and they go to a place called Gadara. If you're familiar with the Bible and the Bible story, you probably know what happened when they got on the other side and they landed in Gadara. There was a man that met them that was demon-possessed. He was a wild man. They could not contain him. They could not control him. They would tie him. They would bind him, and he would book it. And he was making his abode in the very cemetery of the land. And when Jesus arrived, the people were in terror. The town was, people were upset because of the man that was demon-possessed. And when Jesus had healed him, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, Jesus delivered him, cast the devils out of him. And the Bible says in the 38th verse of the 8th chapter, 38th verse, "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought Jesus that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thy own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." I want you to understand the thought tonight. Jesus left him there. He's been healed. He's been delivered. Let me just show you a picture. He was wild. He was stripped his clothes from him. He was demon-possessed. No one could contain him. And when Jesus came along, he healed him, delivered him, and the Bible said, you see him sitting there, clothed, and in his right mind. I've often used that to preach. People that get saved, really saved, they put some clothes on. We have come to the place in America, almost like it was in Rome, that people almost would, I believe, without saying almost, I believe a lot of people would just like to go without. But the Bible said he was sitting there cold in his right mind. The Lord has saved him. And when Jesus was getting ready to leave, he says something like this, "Jesus, let me go with you. I give my testimony how that I've lived in sin and how I was demon-possessed and I could not control my actions and my mind and my temper and the rest. But let me go with you, and when you preach, I'll give my testimony and how many will be blessed." And Jesus said, "You can't go. I want you to stay here. I want you to go to your family and to your friends. And I want them to see what God has done." Did you know what? The best testimony is to begin at home. When God has done something real in your life, somebody might say, "Man, I'd love to go to China. I'd like to go to Africa. I'd like to go to India and be a testimony." Be a testimony in the home. And here Jesus said, he left him there. And he said, for him to be the example in his home and with his family. And I thought, we sing the chorus, "Stand up and tell him if you love my Jesus." What is the next verse? Go home and live it. You know what Jesus was saying to the demon-possessed man? There might be an extra verse in the print there, but I'll just pick it out those two. "Stand up and tell him if you love my Jesus." That's what the man wanted to do. But now Jesus said, "Go home and live it." Did you know what God's telling to us? He said, "Stand up for the Lord wherever you are, but live it all the time. Don't stand up and talk about how much you love God without living it. Live it. Your testimony is the biggest sermon that you'll ever preach. It's the best thing that you'll ever have. Your life, your testimony." And so he says, "Go home and live it." And that's what Jesus wants in every one of us. And then when Jesus and the disciples returned to the other side of the Galilee, the Bible says that there was a crowd of people there waiting for him, and they were the people that had needs. And so I want to just stop there to begin the sermon tonight. We are living in a world that's full of needs. People have needs everywhere. Let me just ask a question. Has that reached your home? or there's some needs in your home or any kind, if it is, just wave your hand. Surely, if you've got loved ones, I'm saying there's a need. Some of that think about needs that, well, maybe I've got, I don't have as much money as I like to have, or I don't have as much nice a home or car, whatever. The real need, folks, is salvation. We are a needy people, and the Bible says the world is full of people like that. Then in the crowd, the Bible says in this 8th chapter, there was a man in the crowd that was a ruler of the synagogue. His name was Jairus. And in that great crowd on the other side of the Galilee, when they came back from Gadara, one of that crowd was a leader in the synagogue named Jairus, and he came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I've got a daughter. She's sick. She's real sick. She's at the point of death. Would you come to my house? If you'll come to my house, she'll be healed. I know that you'll heal her." Now, brother, that's faith. If you'll come, I believe that she'll be healed. And Jesus says, in essence, "I'll come." And he starts toward Jairus' house, where a young girl, 12 years of age, is sick and she's dying. That's a real need. And as they're on their way, the Bible says in that 8th chapter, that in that crowd, there was a woman with an issue of blood. And she came to where Jesus was, and she had in the back of her mind, "If I can just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, I believe just by touching him I'll be healed." Now, brother, that's faith. I can just reach out in a crowd, somehow get, she's bent over. She's spent all the living here on the doctors, and the Bible says she was none the better. The Bible says she's been in all, in fact she was getting worse, some said. One writer said. Have you ever been there? You've been to this doctor, and this doctor, and this doctor, and seemed like whatever they said, you're still getting worse. There were needs. And the woman had in the back of her mind that if I could just touch him. And there was a crowd there. But she made up her mind, if I can just get there. And she was determined to get there. Do you know what happens? Do you remember what Brother Paul did preach the other Sunday night? Of getting hurt. Really getting hurt. Do you believe this woman was hurt? Yeah. Amen. She would not let anything hinder her. The crowd was there. She is weak. She's been losing blood for 12 years. She's had the affliction. She's been weak. She's spent her livelihood and none the better. And look as if she'll never get into healing. And Jesus comes to town. She said, "If I can just get to Jesus, let me leave something with you tonight. You don't have to chase all over town to get to him. He's here." Amen. He's here. We're going to sing up in a month's time, "Reach out and touch the Lord." Where is it, Brother Jones? That in this hour. And that hour. And that hour. And in between every bench. And right beside where you're sitting. Standing right beside you. Just as close as that breath, he's here. He said, "I'll be there." Remember this, Jesus said, "Not me. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." We're here. In the name of the Lord, he's here. And the woman knew that Jesus was in there in the crowd, and if I can just get there. And the Bible says, and she reached out and touched him, and immediately when she touched him, she was made whole. She felt that the blood condition was staunched, the meaning that it dried up. In a moment's time, immediately she was healed. But I want to come back to something tonight. Jairus has got a daughter, and she's dying. And now the woman is interrupting Jesus. And Jairus' daughter is home, and Jesus is on the way home with Jairus. And Jairus believes his daughter's going to get healed. And when Jesus gets there, he's going to touch my daughter. And she's going to heal that. Now Jesus is hung up in the crowd with a woman. And it seems like he's waiting and waiting and waiting. And the woman's finally getting stopped. And Jairus' daughter's dying. And I'm going to leave this. This is important, and I'm not going to preach long tonight. It was testing time. So I'll leave this with you, Tommy, and Sharon, and Riley, and every one of us. There will be some testing time. And it depends on how you act to testing, how you live. When testing time comes, it'll make it They make you understand where you stand. Did you understand that? Maybe I'll try to serve another way. When testing times come, you can throw up your hands in despair. You can say, well, no one cares. I'm all alone. No one understands what I'm going through. They don't understand how I hurt. They don't know that I've wasted out. I spent all of my money the other day and I have nothing left. And I'm none the better. See, now no one cares. No one understands. You become discouraged and let down. Or you can hold on. Do you believe God? This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was sick. And she believed, I've got hope. If I can just get to Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to work out all right. Let me leave this with you right now. If you and me, if you and I can get to Jesus and He's close by, everything's going to be all right. He's here. We never had tornadoes in Virginia when I was growing up. We never had cyclones. We never had earthquakes. We had hurricanes. We had thunderstorms. We had northeasters. Wind would blow. The tides would rise. Water would come up in people's yards. Water would come up in people's houses in Fox Hill. Where we lived, there was a Harris's Creek, just about 300 yards maybe in front of our house. And there was a creek in the back of our house in Grandview, was down in the end, out into the Chesapeake Bay. Water would come from each way, from Harris's Creek, from the creek behind our house, and from Grandview. We lived far enough from Grandview that it never came to our house, but there was a time in a storm in the 30s that the waters came up to our house. There they put the hogs and the cow on the back porch. So that must have been something. We saved the hogs and saved the cow. I don't know a lot about tornadoes, but I know one thing. When Daddy was in the house and we had a storm and the lightnings and thunders and all of this, the wind blowing, if Daddy was in the house, us boys felt safe. Daddy's going to take care of it. Whatever happens, Daddy's in the house, he's going to take care of it. I want you to know something. Somebody greater than Daddy's in the house. His name is Jesus. He's in the house. And the woman came to Jesus and she reached out to lead her. She didn't give up hope, but with all the struggle, with all she's going through, she kept on pressing her in her, and finally she got to Jesus. But listen closer, the longer it took her, the harder it was for Jairus. It's testing time. Jairus' daughter's dying. When he came to Jesus, he said, Jesus, my daughter, at the point of death, would you please come? Jesus said, I'll come. And now Jesus is stopped in the road, waiting upon the woman with the issue of blood, administering to her. Jairus is waiting, and waiting, and waiting. Testing time. This comes, this next part. While he's standing there, someone from home came, whispered to Jairus and said, Jairus, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter died. Your daughter died. He's running for Jesus to come. Jesus has said, I'll come. And now he's been told, your daughter's died. Don't bother Jesus any longer. Your daughter's gone. Listen closely, everyone. There's testing times in our lives. And even sometimes when it looks like it's all gone, looks like there's no hope, Jesus is still the answer. Not only can Jesus heal, Jesus can raise from the dead. I've told our story so many times, I've embarrassed sometimes, but I'm going to embarrass you one more time with me. When God said that He would heal our son Mike with a brain tumor. You might not understand how my wife and I felt. The doctor felt like Mike would die unless they operated, and God said, I'll heal him if you'll trust me. We have to trust God or let the doctors operate. Some people say, let the doctors operate and God can heal through that. If God told us that the weakness of me would do it, we'd do it. But God didn't say that. He said, trust me and I'll heal him. Now that was a testing time. From the time God told us that, we got worse and worse and worse. Finally the doctor said, he's had some brain tumor. He must be operated on. Told me. In East Tucson Medical Center, Dr. Withers was his name. He had just examined Mike. Had helped my wife to dress him. Mike was 3 years old. Had my wife to dress him. He called me in the office beside him. Said, please you come with me, Mr. Jones, or whatever you call me. He went into the office right next to where Mike had been examined, and he was on the phone, and while he's dialing the phone, he said, your son has a brain tumor, and he's got to have operation, or he'll die. Would you want me to go with you to tell your wife? I said, no, sir, that's all right. I guess he thought I was crazy. He said, I want you to rush him over to the hospital. Do you know where it is? I said, yes, sir. He said, I am calling, and they'll be ready for you, and I'll be there. Again, he asked about telling your wife the seriousness of it. I said, that's all right. We got in the car to take Top Mike to the hospital, East Tucson Medical Center. I told my wife, but you know, and listen, we're no better than anyone else. God had said, if you'll trust me, I'll heal him. Do you know what God meant when he said it? He meant, if you trust me, I'll heal him. And when the doctors examined him on Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday, worse and worse and worse. When I left Sunday afternoon, this might be the last time I ever get to tell it. When I left Sunday afternoon to go back to Sierra Vista to preach, 92 miles, left my wife in the hospital with Mike. I got in the car. Looked like he was going to die. He could not sit up. He could not hold his eyelids up. He could not feed himself. He could not stand up. He could not walk. He could not do anything. The brain tumor was in such a place that he could not do a thing. Looked like he would die. And I got in the car and got anointed and I sung victory in Jesus for 92 miles. Somebody said, preacher, you lost your mind. Your boy's dying and you're singing victory in Jesus. No, God had said, if you trust me, I'll heal him. You'll have some testing times in life. Every one of us. I got home. I preached that night. I'll tell you what I preached. They wanted to know how Mike was doing, and I said, it looks like he's going to die. When I left this afternoon, it looked terrible. The superintendent was there. The pastor was there from Tucson. Others were there. It looked like he couldn't make it through the night. And I preached Sunday night in Sierra Vista. That Sunday night I preached, if he dies, God's going to raise him from the dead. Because God can't lie. I got up the next morning, went on the mail route. I was carrying mail to earn a living in a brand new church. Carrying mail, I got home in the afternoon, and when I got home not long after arriving home, the phone rang. It was my wife in Tucson. This is what she said, honey. Come get us. I like that word, us. I read it in the first chapter of Genesis. How did God say, let us make man? I read it in the sixth chapter of Isaiah. When God said, who's there for us? The Trinity. Brother, I believe in the Holy Trinity. My wife said, come get us. I said, what are you saying? God healed him this morning. He's already been discharged from the hospital. We come back in 2 weeks to have him checked, but he's healed. It's testing time. The devil's still mad. The devil is angry. Not long after that, we go to the district conference in Maricopa. We're from the southern district. And those in the northern district, we all met together in Maricopa. Up on the district conference, and there was a general superintendent there by the name of Orwell Rex out of Oklahoma City. We knew him, he knew us. My wife had told him, and my wife stood up in the district conference and testified before Brother Rex preached that day. Anyone have a testimony? My wife stood up, and there was me right beside her, and there was Mike. 3 years old, healed. Everything had been perfect since Monday morning. And now on the Saturday in district conference, sitting there healed, and my wife stood up, and she began to tell what God had done, and as soon as she did, guess what happened? The same symptoms that he had, the twitching and all the rest started. Couldn't control. And it looked as if my wife was lying. There's nothing more than just some hope. So we went to Brother Rich after the service. Everything calmed down with the Brother Rich, and he said, and he was a wise man, he said to us, he said, there's nothing more than a trick of the devil. God is healing your son. Stand on it. And he's never had any more of the symptoms. What are you saying, preacher? The same God that healed Mike in 1960 is the God of 2013. He's still able to do all things and do them well. Hallelujah. Jairus, in the cloud, Jesus standing right there. On his way to Jairus' house, when he gets to my house, he's going to pray for my daughter, and she's going to be healed. And now they come and say, your daughter's dead. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Jairus? Jesus saw what he was going to do. He's always so kind and so good. Jesus whispered and said, Jairus, he heard the messenger. He said, only believe. Your daughter's going to live. She's dead. But Jesus said, only believe. Your daughter's going to live. They got to the house. Jesus said, and I'm trying to tell the whole story, and we're going to pray. They go to the room. They said, I've got to go with Peter, James, and John, and Mom and Daddy. The rest of you don't come in the room. They were crying and they were wailing and they were broken. Jairus' daughter was dead. And Jesus, if you'd only come, if you'd only got here earlier, my daughter, the daughter would not have died. That's what Martha said and that's what Mary said. Jesus is never late. We're praying for the preacher. We're praying for God to work things out at the Lord Jairus. Jesus is never late. Do you believe it? God's more concerned about this church than any of us. Jesus died on the cross for this church, for the sins of the world, and included us. He loves us more than we can imagine. He's heard our prayers. He's seen every tear that's wept from our eyes. He knows what we're going through. He knows the burden of our soul. He knows the desires of our heart. We want the will of God. More than anything in this world, we want the will of God, and He wants the will of God for us. It's testing time. I was talking to someone not long ago. She said, why don't you sell the property, divide up the money, and close it down? That person wasn't of this church. You know, isn't that something? Find out how much money we have and the value of the property. Why don't you sell the property, divide it up with the church people, and close the doors? I want you to know something. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Jairus gets it home, and the people are crying, and the families are nowhere. And Jesus puts them all out, only except Peter, James, and John, and Mom and Daddy. Goes in. Says, Talitha Kumi. My daughter arise. And she sat up. And said, give her something to eat. She was raised from the dead. You didn't have to shout. You didn't have to cry for 30 minutes. You didn't have to beg the Father. He just spoke the word. His name is Jesus. He can do all things. And He does them well. When I read the rest of that part, and I'm going to read now what I just told you from the Bible. I'm going to read from the 8th chapter. I'm going to close out. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon this physician, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of the garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter said, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, The Lord do ground thee and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody has touched me. For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. When the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. He said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. There was a faith that she had in Almighty God. Listen one more time and let me share this with you tonight. Somebody with all those people rubbing up against Jesus. The crowd was there. People rubbing elbows. And Peter said, Jesus, you're asking who touched me with all this crowd. And he said, somebody touched me. We're not going to have Bible study right now, but there's a difference in touching the Lord and touching the Lord. Now, if you don't catch that, we'll have to have a question on Wednesday night. There's a difference in touching and touching. This woman touched with faith. And when she touched the Lord believing, she was healed. You know what I want tonight? I brought a prayer a while ago, and I brought a prayer that you thought you'd heal me. And I mean that out of my heart. What you're going through and what you're going through now with parties and the rest, stand and say tonight, believe God's going to heal some folks. And I believe it just like it. I told you in the first church how people got healed of cancer. Canceled the room, canceled the breast. A girl got healed of bad eyesight. How did God heal Michael McBrain? And over and over again, how people were healed. Listen, the same God is still God tonight. He's still in the business. I leave this with you. I'm going to finish reading that chapter, part of that chapter. After we got to Jairus' house, I'm going to read from, if I can find it somewhere. If I can, and I don't know where that's 42B is where I want to start. No, I've read that already. I don't know where it is. I read from 49 verse, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be healed. She shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he shut the door, man to the end, say, Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all walked and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed in the scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And a spirit came around, she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And I want to leave this for tonight. I've just got a few moments of time here that I want to share with you. Throughout the Bible, there are those that are hurting. Have you ever felt like maybe you were the only ones that was going through what you're going through? I've heard some stories in the Bible when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He ran into a father, and the father said, I've got a son that's demon-possessed. Would you do something? And Jesus cast the demon out and healed him. I read on in the Bible, and I found a story of a man in the pool of Bethesda. Had an infirmity for 38 years. He could not walk. He could not do anything on his own. And he stayed by the pool, waiting for the waters to be stirred, and it was said that when the water was stirred by the angel, the first one to get in was healed. Every time he tried to make his way to the pool, someone got in before him. 38 years he's been in this condition, and Jesus came by. And the Bible said Jesus healed him. On another occasion, there was a man who'd been blind from birth. Think about it, for his entire life, he'd never seen a rose. Never seen a cloud, never seen a mountain, never seen a flower, never seen any of that, never seen his mama's face. Jesus healed him. The man of the temple in the third chapter, the book of Acts, had been lame from his mother's womb, had never walked. Peter came by and prayed for him, and the Bible said he was healed and began to run and leap. Praise and magnify God. The world is full of hurting people. And tonight I'm going to close. If you have good health, you are blessed. I think sometimes we take a lot for granted. Every one of us have had problems and difficulties and trials and heartache and affliction and sickness. And our church tonight, so many need a touch in their body. And I close by saying this, and I hope it will be an encouragement to you. When I said a while ago that Jesus, wherever Jesus is, there's hope. And He's here. We can give in camp meetings and the presence of God is real and the anointing of God is real and people rejoicing. From 1961 to 1970, in the Arizona Conference camp meeting after camp meeting, things that you'd never think about. I'm talking about the move of God. Power of God, the anointing of God, what God did, camp meeting time. How that God blessed. This is the part that I like tonight is the same God that was there is here. We took several carloads to camp meeting from Sierra Vista, 1961. Some were hungry for the Holy Ghost. God had moved in our church. Some were hungry for the Holy Ghost and they were filled at camp meeting. I'm going to tell you something that'll bless your heart. It's 10 o'clock and the service is over. Most everyone has left the tabernacle, but some people from Sierra Vista, our church, was hungry for God. 2 or 3 pastors and preachers or others were in the altar praying with our people that were hungry for God. 11 o'clock came. People were still in the altar praying. And I saw something that was impossible happen. My wife can verify it tonight. Some of the people from our church that were hungry in the altar praying about 11 o'clock, between 11 and 12 o'clock at night. Everyone else had gone from the tabernacle, gone back to their cabins or wherever. And as God began to move around that altar, a man and a woman from that church, not husband and wife. A man and a woman from that church. And I saw something happen that you cannot believe unless you see it. God raised that man, his name was Norman Basinger. Raised him! And there was only one man touching the floor or the shavings in the tabernacle. And that was the heel in 1 foot. His body was elevated, only 1 foot was touching. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He's speaking in tongues. Right beside him, Sister Johnny Six, at the very same moment, began to speak in tongues. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Here's Norman Basinger, another lady of our church, Johnny Six, receiving the Holy Ghost at the same time. God's anointing, God's blessing, and people began to rejoice. It wasn't there, but a very few of us there. About midnight, after the service had decided that dropped off. We went back to the cabin. We couldn't go to bed. We couldn't go to sleep. We sat around talking about how good God is. This man has just received the Holy Ghost. Hated God. Hated the church. Hated my wife. Hated me. But God saved him. Now he's filled him with the Holy Ghost. Called him to preach. I saw it with my own eyes on a night in the camp meeting. Nothing touching the floor but one heel. It was, I don't believe it, Brother Jones. I believe God can do anything. And I'm closing. When we leave it tonight, I want you to know this. There's a lot of hurting people. Everywhere you look, There are people that are hurting. And we know someone that's the answer. And I know some people will not accept it. Some people don't want it. Some people want nothing to do with God. But there are some people that are hurting that want God's blessing. And as your pastor tonight, I want God's blessings and revival in these last years of my life and the last months of my ministry. I want one more Holy Ghost revival. Like many of you I've never seen, maybe. He's a miracle worker. When he healed Mike of a brain tumor, that same God is here tonight. When he healed Tom when he's 5 days old of a blood condition, that same God is here. That same God was here over and over again. Many of you, he's still here. Come to the piano, honey. We're going to sing Reach Out and Touch the Lord as he passes by. I realize we're few in number tonight. But God is not tied to how many we have. It's up to our faith in God. I believe God can heal my wife. She has said over and over, she said it again today. Why do my legs hurt all the time? I said, and it's arthritis. And I say this tonight, God is the healer of arthritis. Brother Lou has neuropathy. His back hurts with what he has. He got those 8 shots. He said yesterday morning they're doing no good. God's the healer. Mary Jane, back trouble. He's the specialist. Dream of your condition. Pray of your condition. Anyone. He's the specialist. Let's sing together tonight. Reach out and touch the Lord. Will you stand together?